Hey, this is Randy Gage, and you're listening to the Power Prosperity Podcast. Hey, what's up, podcast peeps? Let's talk about ecstasis this episode. Ecstasis is a fascinating concept. It's that experience, that moment where you kind of rise above yourself. You're looking at yourself from 30,000 feet from the airplane. It's almost out of body, but it's this heavenly experience. And it doesn't have to be this dramatic, once in a million years kind of thing, but what I want to talk about this episode is how we make that a daily experience. Because I think there's millions of people around the world that are completely unaware that ecstasis exists, that they could have those kind of moments. They're so head down, hunched over, in survival mode, in existence mode, in fearful, be entertained, distracted every waking moment of every day mode, that they aren't really experiencing life. They're the reason Netflix keeps adding so many millions of subscribers, and each blockbuster keeps setting new Hollywood records, and because people are just desperate for ways to escape from their desperate reality, right? So they're just kind of in the cubicle all week long, and then it's Friday night and it's hit Pizza Hut, and then Netflix, binge watching until Monday morning when they start the routine all over again. So I think there's millions of people like that, that they don't know that those kind of experiences are even available to them. And then I think there's many millions more people around the planet who are aware that these experiences can happen, but they think they happen only rarely, that it's a once in a lifetime thing, or it's when they have a near death experience and they feel they come out of their body, and that but my premise is that you can access the state of ecstasis when you mindfully choose to, when you wrote down a couple of examples. Timmy Lincecum was throwing a no-hitter against the Padres over at Petco Park, which is across the street from my balcony where I am recording this episode today. And I remember just sitting on the balcony as that no-hitter was in progress, fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, and I stopped watching the field. I wasn't watching it on TV. I was just sitting on the balcony listening to the crowd cheering. And knowing, you know, because I've become this expert at detecting the crowd cheers of what's going on in the stadium. So I can be in my office, which is on the other side of my condo, but if I have the window open, I can still hear if it's a big crowd over at the stadium. And you got to be careful when the Dodgers are in town, or the Cubs are in town, or the Giants are in town. There's so many visiting fans that when you hear this huge cheer, that doesn't mean the Padres hit a home run. It might mean the opposing team hit a home run. And then when you get a no-hitter going, even the home crowd who's being no hit will sometimes be cheering for a no hitter because it's history. They could be this moment in history. And not to go down this whole well of baseball, but just the I just want to describe the spiritual experience it was for me just to sit on my balcony and process the sound of the crowd. That was ecstasis for me. When I'm working out and my playlist goes to Sweet Child of Mine and Slash is doing that guitar riff, that's a spiritual experience if you will stop to process it. But of course, it's in your playlist and you've heard it 8,527 times and you just take it for granted, then it's just another track on your phone. I get fresh flowers delivered every week, and it's a prosperity thing for me. And sometimes I just sit on my sofa, I get one arrangement that goes for the coffee table in front, and I have a magnificent floral shop, and I mean, they're true artists, and they create these beautiful arrangements that sometimes I just catch myself staring into that arrangement, and it's ecstasis for me. And then 100 times during the day I walk by it and I don't notice it, right? And I think that's the problem with our world today. We walk by this stuff all the time. We take this stuff for granted. So I'm always mindful to remind myself to experience the ecstasis, because that's what brings prosperity to our lives. I can be watching a show like The Sopranos, and they always had these magnificent endings of every episode. So Tony would say something and he would just be staring into the distance, and then they would pick some brilliant musical track to play. Billions does the same thing. Brian Koppelman just is a, or I don't know if he chooses or who, but I mean, it's just genius. The background music, the soundtrack music that they think. Even the final Sopranos, when it faded to black, I just sat there staring at my TV with tears in my eyes. And then I go online and there's all this epic debate and hot takes of how, you know, and people who didn't even get it, who thought that the power went out at the network, and, you know, they all this debate and how could they end the show that way. And I'm like, stop. And I get that. I mean, I think of Lost and that final episode of Lost. Again, I think, was his name Jack in the show? And they were just coming at the panned out looking from his eye. And I was just had tears in my eyes. But I still fell prey to the cultural zeitgeist of what's the hot take. I remember writing a blog about it then. And you know, this was kind of that weird kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, God's waiting room. And so I did this whole hot take on it in my blog at that time. And I look back on it now and I just cringe. And I'm like, why couldn't I just savor that moment that I experienced when the show ended? You saw the same thing with Game of Thrones and that final episode. To me, it was breathtaking genius. What Martin did with the original material, what the showrunners did with the show. I don't need to get a bunch of internet takes, hot takes on how they should have done this and they didn't resolve that, and what about this incongruency? I mean, at some point, can we just experience the artist's epic resolution of that particular piece of art? Because that's what shows like that, that's what they are. They are art. And ecstasis is when we mindfully choose to go to that space, to experience that moment when time stands still and we just get to bathe ourselves in the beauty of the artistry. I'm kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know if it's esoteric, but I'm in this mental space I'm in, whatever it is, whatever the word I would use to describe it, because I've recently reread two things that really impacted me in a major way. One of them was The Diary of Anne Frank, and the other one was Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And if you came to my place, you'd see I always have 112 books that I haven't got to yet. And Amazon is going to deliver four more that week. And I'm in this desperate race to try to, you know, remain with my head above water, which is a futile exercise. So it's a big deal for me to go back and reread something, just because I'm such an OCD person and like to have my checklists and to-do lists and get things done. Control is the ultimate addiction, right? So that's the ultimate addiction I face as an addict, is control. So I like to control everything in my life, including being caught up in my books, which is this battle I will never win. And now I'm grateful enough to celebrate the fact that I will never win that battle. So sometimes I make this mindful choice to go back and reread something like The Diary of Anne Frank, which was, you know, I probably read in first when I was in fifth or sixth grade and impacted me on such an emotional level. And there's just part in there where she's looking through this little window in her attic and the peace and the calm that nature brings to her. And then Frankl's book kind of prompted me when I reread it this last time in a different way. I kind of was screaming out, and I wrote a series of blogs about it. And one of them, well, I don't think that was the title of the blog, so you can't look it up, but if you go to my blog and then you search Frankl, that one should come up. But one of the things I said in that series is that I almost feel that if Frankl were writing that book today, he would have to write Man's Search for Meaningless, because of the people who drive all the way to the Grand Canyon and get there, and there they are about to experience it, but they're so busy worrying about the filters on their Instagram account, so to make sure that they get enough likes on the picture that they took, that they didn't even see the Grand Canyon. They saw how they had, what filter they had to use to create the status, the signal that they wanted to send out by the fact that they were there watching the Grand Canyon. I think of the hot takes on all the sports talk shows. The NFL season just started here in the States. The baseball's heading into the playoff, you know, final wire of the run. And, you know, every day there's these sports talk radio and sports talk shows on TV, and all of the talking heads with their hot takes, and everybody desperate to pick up one of those hot takes so they can sound knowledgeable when they're talking about it at the bar at happy hour. I looked at our need to attack and demonize people who have different political views than us. Why is that? Why can't we just talk about ideas? Why can't we say Elizabeth Warren thinks that there should be, and Bernie Sanders thinks there should be Medicare for all, and it's totally government subsidized in a socialistic way. And there are other, and Beto and whoever believe, no, we don't want to blow up the insurance industry. There's ways to Biden, you know, that we can do this without taking away insurance from everybody and making it a mandatory government-opposed program. Why can't we look at those in? Andrew Yang has the concept of universal basic income. And Bill Weld believes that the free enterprise system, you know, why can't we look at the ideas that people have and discuss those without needing to demonize those people? And again, I think it's a case of we get sucked into the busyness of day-to-day life and we aren't mindful enough to choose the moments of ecstasis which are available to us. Here's a little present for you. Ryan Holiday sent me a DM. He has a new book coming out on, it's about the middle of September 2019. And it's coming out, I think, October 1st. So depending on when, if you're listening to this live, you know, when it first comes out or replaying it years later. So anyway, October 1st, start of October, I believe, 2019, Ryan has this new book out called Stillness is the Key. And this is kind of the third episode of the epic trilogy, which would have began with his book, The Obstacle is the Way, and then the second book was Ego is the Enemy. So now the third book is Stillness is the Key. And so Ryan DM'd me and said, hey, would you like an advance, you know, would you like an advance early copy of the book? I'm like, what, you know, it's like calling someone and say, would you like free ice cream and pizza for the rest of your life? Of course I do, Ryan. So he sent it to me. So I want to read a little excerpt from it. It's from the middle section of the book. And this particular little chapter is called Bathe in Beauty. So let me share what Ryan writes in this new book coming out. It is not the sign of a healthy soul to find beauty in superficial things. The adulation of the crowd, fancy cars, enormous estates, glittering awards. Nor to be made miserable by the ugliness of the world, the critics and haters, the suffering of the innocent, injuries, pain, and loss. It is better to find beauty in all places and things, because it does surround us and will nourish us if we let it. The soft paw prints of a cat on the dusty trunk of a car, the hot steam wafting from the vents on a New York City morning, the smell of asphalt just as the rain begins to fall, the thud of a fist fitting perfectly into an open hand, the sound of a pen signing a contract, binding two parties together, the courage of a mosquito sucking blood from a human who can so easily crush it, a basket full of vegetables from the garden, the hard right angles that passing trucks cut out of the drooping branches of trees next to a busy road, a floor filled with a child's toys arranged in the chaos of exhausted enjoyment, a city arranged the same way, the accumulation of hundreds of years of spasmodic, independent development. Are you starting to see how this works? So I love that excerpt because it shows the, because that's something I've marveled at. I think in my, where I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and so many trees, and then you'd go to these neighborhoods and there would be that right angle that he talked about, not from trucks, but from buses, because they were on a bus line and the bus always ran under the tree and cut this perfect right corner angle from, you know, on, out of the branches of the trees. It's just taking the time to notice those little things. What I believe is we have become addicted to drama. We have become addicted to trauma. And I think, and a lot of you who follow my work for a long time know that I believe this is searching for worthiness. That people are creating more heroic hero's journey for themselves because they have low self-esteem and they're desperately trying to validate their worth. They're searching for worthiness. And this is just this insane pursuit we've created as a society. It's akin to a fish swimming around in the Pacific looking for water. You are worthy. You got to stop buying into all of the drama and the trauma and the noise and the distractions that make you feel you are not enough, that make you feel that you're not worthy. Tim Ferriss always asks his guests on this podcast, what would you put up on a billboard? And when I think of that question, I always say, you know, my first is, hey, can I get 20 billboards? Because I have 20 different things I'd put up. But one of the billboards for sure would be the title I used for one of my books on prosperity. And it's three simple words. And those words are, accept your abundance. And that's what prosperity is about, right? You can't be treated for prosperity. You have to be open to receive it. And to do that means being mindful enough to choose to notice the flowers, to notice the kitten, to notice the sunshine, to notice the sound of the waves, to notice the, Coronado Island is the view behind the ballpark, is the Pacific Ocean. I've got the Coronado Bridge and then Coronado Island where the Navy SEAL training is done, and so I get to see these fighter jets and attack helicopters and all kind of amazing aircraft are always up doing exercises in the air. And so I like bring my opera glasses out and I keep them on the table here just to, some of these helicopters are amazing. Some of the, right? But how many times they fly overhead? Sometimes it's 20 times a day. And how many people in this little area here in San Diego don't even notice them? It's about being mindful. That ecstasis, that opportunity for ecstasis is there for all of us. It's being mindful enough to choose it. It is being mindful enough to accept your abundance. So that's all I want to share with you today. Other than this, I'm not certain where I'm going to go on this podcast. What I am certain on is I put out a Twitter follow of the day that people seem to appreciate, and I do 5 blogs a week that they seem to appreciate, and I've been doing 3 or 4 podcasts a week they seem to appreciate, and I try to write books as often as I can write books. And I can't write more books at the moment because I'm doing all of these other things. And so I'm going to have to prune the tree a little. And I think I may do more longer form podcasts like this where we'll probably do 1 or 2 a week like this. And then we'll take 1 show a week like we are now on Fridays. We usually get one of the old Prosperity TV videos from my YouTube channel, and we put out that, the audio version of that. So I'll let you know as I sort it out, but just know that I've been doing 4 a week, and I see there's an amazing helicopter flying by me right now. Breathtaking. I love it. So I'm going to sort this out and figure out how I can still spend enough time in my lonely writer's garret, hunched over my laptop, writing more books, and still be able to share some of these principles of prosperity with you guys in the meantime. So stay tuned for that. Go out there. Have an amazing day. Love you guys. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the Power Prosperity Podcast. Do me a favor and practice the circulation law of prosperity and tell people about Prosperity TV. So if you would, just put something up on your Tumblr, your Twitter, your Facebook, your YouTube. Let people know what you think of the Power Prosperity Podcast. Even take a screenshot of your phone and maybe post that picture so we can build the community here at the podcast. Thanks, guys.